be informed with making decisions that, again, lower the risk, maximize the return, because that's why you run a business. You know, I don't know any of my clients run a business to be overworked, stressed, and to do emails on holidays. They run a business to, you know, do what they do really well, to serve the people they do, and to then be financially rewarded off the back of that.
Welcome to the Business Behind Your Business, conversations to help your business grow and thrive. Hi, I'm Paul Sweeney, founder of Pretium Solutions, chartered accountants and certified business advisors, hosting the Business Behind Your Business. Welcome back to the Business Behind Your Business. And today I'm joined by James Frank from Frank Law. And we're going to be looking at this issue of, well, it's an issue for every business in terms of the environment we operate, the risk that we face, and what we should be doing about it. So, James, great to have you here. Welcome to the podcast.
Beautiful. Thanks for having me.
That's great. Great. So, look, anybody that's running a business is operating in a set of different rules and risks to do with customers, employees, suppliers, product. It's something we can't avoid, but a lot of businesses don't get advice on how to set up correctly or how to avoid these risks or avoid the consequences of these risks, and mainly because of the traditional way that people view lawyers and costs. And look, Frank Law have done something pretty exciting in this field to make it easier for business owners to, well, I guess really run their business better with some, I guess, surety about what they're doing and that they're actually complying with all the laws they need to comply. So Law at Work is the product that you've developed. And look, I'm pretty excited about it. I know you are. So maybe you should tell us a bit more about what Law at Work actually is.
Yeah, sure. So I guess Law at Work, very simply put, is a legal advice subscription. Basically, the genesis of Law at Work was we saw time and time again our, you know, SME clients, family business clients were always winning work against very big clients. And the very big clients would engage the lawyers and they would actually take what is a cost and create it into a way for them to make more money. So maybe it was squeezing our client on a variation or something like that. And in effect, we realized that there was this significant difference between bargaining in the bargaining power between the SME client, the family client, whose money is very close to them, you know, pays the school fees and the holidays, etc., and, you know, the very large clients who are maybe publicly listed or private equity owned and use lawyers as a strategic tool rather than just sort of a cost center that sits there. So what we saw is essentially all these decisions, whether it be contracts, suppliers, clients, employees, you know, intellectual property structures, tax, everything in that space that is used at the big end of town as a way to make more money for shareholders, etc. SME owners and particularly, you know, family-run enterprises miss out because they see it as a cost. Lawyers for a long time have run very expensive cost structures, and the whole six-minute unit of time, and we'll charge you, you know, $1,000 an hour, but wait, there's more. Every 6 minutes is going to be $100. Even if I just blink at your file, it's going to be a very expensive problem. And that actually incentivizes, in one strange sense, lawyers to be slower and less efficient, because the more inefficient I am, the more time it's going to take. And in theory, therefore, the more billable hours I can rack up on a job. And the problem with that is twofold. One is that, generally speaking, SME owners, family-run businesses need timely advice, not just sort of advice in the ethereal sense, but, hey, I've got a deal, I've got to do it now. And secondly, affordable advice. And so what happens is they go, well, this is the conversation we had with our clients. They said, hey, we just can't, A, afford to do it in the current cost structure. We know you'll be timely, but the current cost structure means it's unaffordable. We don't see the value alignment with that. And so, therefore, we're not going to engage you. Now, the problem with that is we then see the end result of that, and whether it be litigation or a contract dispute or, you know, they're not getting the rights to variations, etc. And that caused us to think there has to be a better. And so we sort of looked around at where models were going and thought we can develop a subscription that has a number of different modules in it that covers the kind of day-to-day legal issues that a business, SME, right the way through to a publicly listed company, would actually have to deal with. And so what we've done is crafted a number of subscriptions specific to, you know, now we're going into industries and sectors, but actually that can help, I guess, create the value alignment between a client and a law firm like us, and help us be available for that client more openly and more rapidly, and help the client lower the barrier of the concern around cost to access us. So really, we become part of their internal team, but we sit externally and we're available, and we can then get any myriad of question within these modules put in front of us. We can answer it, and the client knows that they're not going to get a huge bill. There's no bill shock. You know, it's a monthly fixed cost that they then can budget for. So in a nutshell, you know, Law at Work is our subscription platform where we, you know, have a fixed monthly cost for the provision of legal advice, legal services, and that's tailored to then the client's individual needs depending on sector and depending on where their pain points lie. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great, because there's a lot of things that you, or a number of things that you mentioned there that are key to running a business, but also key reasons why business owners have in the past, particularly small and medium owners, have not sought advice. Mm. And we know that it is oft quicker and cheaper to prevent an issue than to fix it later on. But there's been this impediment, and accountants have been guilty as well of charging by 6-minute intervals. And I've had many disagreements with senior partners about the way that we bill in the past, but that's no longer an issue for me. But what you want is your client or the business owner to not be afraid to ring up and ask the question, because if you don't ask the question, then you're acting ignorantly because you're not aware of all the issues that you could be facing. That it's a false economy not to get advice up front.
Yeah, I think you absolutely nailed that, Paul, because what we see is there is a decision that's made at the front end of a transaction, deal, joint venture, whatever it be, and there's a decision where they go, well, look, it's going to cost me a little bit and I don't know that I'm going to get that cost back, right? Instead of thinking like Macquarie Bank does, which says that cost is part of the return on, that's factored in the return on the investment of that deal. And so there is a little bit of encouraging business owners to think, okay, this is a cost that will help the business rather than hinder the business. But the problem is that doesn't get over the next hurdle, which is I am a business that sells widgets. Widgets have a price. That price is worked out by inputs. You're telling me your 6-minute unit is more expensive than my one widget. And that has been a historical problem that particularly lawyers and look, accountants and other professional services seem to understand that a little bit better, and clients kind of see the value proposition a bit more. But I think with lawyers, the old school way of thinking kind of just pushed us into a corner and said, no, that's it. That's the only way we operate. And that created, or has in the past, a significant distrust on, well, am I actually getting the advice in a timely manner if you're 6-minute units, et cetera. And what we see is that clients who take the proactive step, particularly on this type of regime, firstly, they use us more than they ever think they would, because they actually realize, that has a legal consequence. And it kind of becomes a bit of a liberating process for them. That's, all of these decisions that I had to think about, I can actually get someone else to come up with an answer and then can help me guide. So my decision-making drops from reviewing the contract down to, is this a commercial risk we're worth taking? Is the reward worth it at that point, for example? So there's a sort of an interesting kind of mix there, where what we've seen is clients that come on board really quickly, clients that have had a litigation issue in the past. And so they know, before I even get through what it is, they just go, yes, because they have stuffed up a contract in the past, or they've made a mistake, or they've had an issue with a partner or something like that, that they've then spent a lot of money trying to fix, which no one wins except lawyers in those cases. And they suddenly see the value of the proactive advice right up front. Instead of being reactive, let's be proactive. Let's take steps to set up relationships, whether it be internally or externally, in a way that are controlled and are known, and the risks are palatable to the business owner. And that for us is, you know, is a huge driving force of why we want to do this. We actually find now that if you take costs off the table, and so the client knows exactly what it's going to cost for 12 months, what we become is a strategic advisor, not a cost center. and the client uses us in a way that we want to be used, which actually we should be used, which is, hey, here's the law, here's the context. How do I play the game in the context within these rules to maximize my return for my efforts? And I, you know, am reminded that a lot of the time that, you know, laws are kind of like fences around tennis courts, you know, that they don't tell you how to play tennis. They just say this demarcates a tennis court and keeps the balls from going into other tennis courts and those kind of things. Where I think people kind of forget the law interacts is actually that kind of way of saying, well, if we can keep you playing tennis within these boundaries, then the risk is contained to a known amount of risk. And that risk can then be appropriately with other key advisors understood at a dollar return value. And, okay, am I prepared to take this risk? Is the reward worth it? And that's a conversation piece that happens every day at the Macquarie Banks of the world, but does not happen at a SME owner because they don't have the information. So we are really focused on driving that, lowering the barrier through, you know, this kind of really transparent value alignment style pricing to say, actually, we're here to help. Let us help, firstly, but let us work with your other key advisors to help you make the decisions that you need to make, but also not have to do other things that you're not the best at. And I'm certainly the first to admit, look, I'm not the best at making widgets. In fact, don't even put me near a hammer, but, you know, I'm pretty good on the Corporations Act. So, you know, let me do the Corporations Act and you do the widgets and let's work on that basis. And it's pretty interesting to see the results so far and the uptake of, I guess, excitement around not having to get a big 6-minute bill shock bill per month. And that's, it's interesting, Paul, because one of the things that some of our established clients who have been on what we call rates retainers for a while have said to us is, why are you doing this? Like you are in effect lowering what we may pay you in some of our busy months. And for us, it comes down to a very simple principle. We want lifetime relationships with clients. You know, the two biggest complaints the Law Society hears, timely communication and costs. And if I can lower the cost issue, it's then timely communication, which is well within our control, and we can set appropriate standards for each particular client and their demands and needs, etc. So for us, we play a long game. We're here for the long game. We've been here for a long time. And this is a really proactive step on our part to say we can do law differently. We can innovate that provision of legal services in a way that actually helps the client, not hinders them, and a way that actually gets back to the collaborative kind of classic, you're my lawyer, you're the client's lawyer. You've got a position at the table that has value rather than, you know, detracts from that, which is where we saw the law, you know, had been tracking and kind of still does track in the traditional sense as being a cost center, reactive, et cetera. So, yeah, it's been interesting to see the uptake of, from a client's point of view, and they're excited around seeing it strategically rather than seeing us as a cost center. Yeah, it's been really interesting.
Yeah, and look, there's, well, I guess, three things that have come out of that you've been mentioning is, as a business owner, like you mentioned, making widgets is what a business owner does. And we always say that our clients are the experts in their business, but we're the experts in accounting and business advice. As a business owner, you're starting with, well, you've got to wear something like 30 to 50 different hats. And look, I've done some law. I have to be aware of some laws, but I don't want to be practicing in that. And I know the risk, but a lot of business owners have even less knowledge than I do. So it's a big risk area. So you need that skill set. You need to outsource to somebody that is a specialist in that area. And I think the other thing is that we talked about the Macquarie Banks having their in-house legal. One of the great things that's been happening in the way business operates in the last, but particularly the last 10, 15 years since cloud technologies have come in, is that a lot of the technologies and resources have been available solely as the domain of the big companies are now becoming more everyday for small and medium business owners. And that's where Law at Work comes in. And you know, it is accessible. So the small guy no longer has to be up against Goliath. They've actually got their own in-house legal. Okay, yes, it's in a different building. Yes, it's a different company that's doing it, but they are the in-house legal for that small, medium business. And the last one I want to say there, James, is that I've been arguing with people for a long time that accounting and legal fees should not be a cost on the profit and loss. They should actually be an asset because they are actually generating income and part of that income producing process. A business owner won't blink an eye at going and buying a new computer because it's going to generate some income, but they will blink an eye at spending money on advice or one-off piece of advice for accounting or legal or professional fees, because that is seen as a cost. It's not seen as an asset that's going to help them create that revenue or ongoing revenue and really safeguard their business.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point, that last one. And I guess clients, they do wrestle with that, right? But James, if I put a salesperson on and I resource them with a car and a computer, you know, they might derive $500,000 of new sales, right? That's absolutely not a problem. And I kind of give the example that, you know, we had a client who was dealing with a top-tier law firm, and they sent us a contract. And the contract was, you know, two and a half inches thick. Like, it was a very meaty piece of work. And for them, it represented, you know, 20 to 40% of their turnover any one year. And it was an injection of new work they didn't think they'd win. And the client said to me, look, I do not think they will accept any changes on this contract, but I would like you to have a look at it, right? Now, when a client says that, you think, well, the bar's not very high here. Let's see what we can do. We get one change. Maybe they made a mistake where we're winning here. But we actually looked at it, and the other law firm was Clayton Utz, so very large. And we had a look at the contract. He said, look, overall, it's a fairly balanced contract. It's pretty standard for the type of work and the quantum of work that's being done. But one of the things we flagged was just a commercial, I guess, reality of, well, it was a fixed price contract at a certain time, and there was a delay in terms of, well, signing was today, delivery was X, there were some milestones in there, and we just sort of raised with them, well, hang on, what happens if between the start of or the signing of the contract and the start of production, your costs increase? And the client said, look, that does happen, pretty rare, but hey, we should think about that. And so we went back with a variation or with a revision of the contract, said, look, we just want to change things such that if there is a change in the cost of goods, not in labor because that was our control, but the cost of goods, you know, material base, that we need some ability to adjust the contract up if that happens. If it goes down, well, that's commercial risk we're doing. And actually, surprise to our client, not to us, Clayton Utz and their client came back and said, yeah, that makes sense. Fine. A very unlikely outcome, but happened. Signed off. About 3 months later, the client called up us and said, hey, you know that slight revision we made to the contract about cost of goods? Can we just have a look at that? And we pulled it up. And the client said, actually, this is what we priced it at. It's now risen by 25% because of this particular shortage of a part. What are our options? Because if we can't get an increase, then, you know, the profitability in the job drops out. And actually, within the contract, we'd allowed for this particular, you know, part to, you know, it would fall within this particular clause. And so we went back and said, this is what you need to do. And they just simply followed the process within the contract, which then resulted in the accepting of the variation on the basis of some evidence being the increase in supply, which actually then preserved the profitability in that job, right? Now, that's the most direct example we have, and in a truncated time, to say, one, very big client for our client, two, very big law firm, three, they're actually reasonable, and four, yes, you spent an amount of money with us in doing that, but actually the result saved you $250,000 because you actually could go back and actually legitimately raise an issue within the contract, and that's what contracts are for, bring it to everyone's awareness, and then have that particular adjustment agreed to. And in the current context of significant supply side squeezes, this kind of forethought of saying, well, great, we're doing a contract signing today, we've won the tender, the work doesn't start for 6 months, how are we going to mitigate the risk of, you know, cost slides and squeezes? How do we give ourselves protection in that? That actually turns to, going back to your point, Paul, that's a making money question rather than necessarily a, oh, well, cost center risk, you know, oh my goodness, we won't talk about it. It actually flips to, well, if you don't think about this, then the profit that you think we'll make may disappear. And in fact, you may run the job at a loss, which then presents other risks, et cetera. So I completely agree that we need to encourage our clients and work hard with people to translate the costs that are spent with getting advice, strategic advice, particularly accounting and legal, et cetera, reframe that and say, this is an asset for the directors, for the shareholders, to act for the executive, to make decisions and be informed with making decisions that, again, lower the risk, maximize the return, because that's why you run a business. You know, I don't know any of my clients run a business to be overworked, stressed, and to do emails on holidays. They run a business to, you know, do what they do really well, to serve the people they do, and to then be financially rewarded off the back of that. And all of those things have to, in order to achieve that, you have to set up a system to achieve that. This doesn't happen. And so I completely agree. We've got to change our mindset on how do we spend. Is this actually a spent cost, or is this an investment in something that's going to return value? So, yeah, couldn't agree more.
Yeah. So in terms of investing in our business, so a lot of people, I guess, have a very limited approach that lawyers fix things that are broken. So what are some of the proactive steps or proactive inclusions in the Law at Work, I guess, package that you offer to clients?
Yeah. Yeah. I guess it centers around the first and foremost sort of module is this concept of a dedicated legal team. So that really focuses on the concept of being in-house counsel or in-house lawyers for your business. So you've got a particular point of contact, and we actually have an app that they get access to, and that means we get an instant messenger chat, the ability to upload documents, set to do tasks. So it's as if we're in their ecosystem that they can download from the app store and do all that sort of fancy stuff, which is awesome. But essentially, so that's the first and core component. And that what that does is lower all the barriers to say, hey, we want to be in your business, part of your business, helping you make decisions. Now, you probably as a business owner don't understand the extent at which we can help. So let's now educate you on that part. So that's the first bit. The second is then we look at employment and people is kind of one of the big cores that is across every subscription. And that's everything from, and we talk the legal side of things. We're not at the kind of the HR internal, hey, the coffee machine's dirty sort of, you know, Janice is not nice, et cetera. We're not at that level. You need people at that level because keeping a good culture is really important. But we're at that kind of next level to say, all right, are our legal compliance documents right? Are our policies right? Is our risk low? Are our employment agreements right? Are we above award? Are we complying with the national employment standards? Are we making sure we've got contractors or employees and making sure they're not mixed and muddled and working through that? So the legal compliance around employment and people is critical now more than ever. To be honest, it's a very complex regime. And I know you've had Paul Cripps on this show, you know, on this podcast, and it's a myriad of issues that HR is sort of spinning at the moment. So that's the second major component that we kind of package with all of our packages. The third is contracts and agreements, and that's internally and externally. So, you know, the contracts are the lifeblood of a business's value, particularly if you are delivering something, whether it be a service or a widget. The value of your business, the difference between very good value and okay value sometimes is simply a contract. If you're supplying Aldi or Woolworths and you've got a standard offboarding contract where they will take 100,000 widgets a week, that contract is very valuable. If you don't have a contract there, there's no certainty of supply or delivery. And so the value in the business in that what you do can diminish or be affected significantly by it. So that's a very simple example where everyone has contracts, whether it be a simple lease right the way through to a very complex joint venture agreement, et cetera, and everything in between. So maybe it's a shareholders agreement. Maybe it's a partnership agreement. Maybe it's a buy-sell agreement. Maybe it's a simple loan agreement because you've started this company and you want to make sure the money you've put in is secured, or a PPSR, you know, personal property securities register sort of process. So the myriad is broad. Any agreement within what would be deemed as an agreement would be covered by that. And that's kind of the third rock that sits on every business is that sort of key thing there. And then we kind of look at some other things like maybe cash flow, debtor and dispute management. So what we find in our litigation team does a lot of litigation, and what we find is that most disputes could be kept out of being a dispute by virtue of it being handled in an appropriate way early on and with some wisdom as to, is this really what you want to send, or do we want to actually just de-escalate this and go, okay, what's the commercial cost to us to pursue this, etc. So that, you know, is a really significant part. Similarly, just simple debt collection, sending letters of demand, etc. We then also have an add-on that clients can kind of lock in local court litigation for a fixed cost per month. And we find that's particularly useful for our trades clients because you know, there is unfortunately in that world a bit of debtors issues that come up. And for a lot of our clients in that space, that they see just one, you collect one debt, then from our point of view, we're actually making money on the subscription. We're actually just, you've done your job for the year sort of thing, as well as everything else. And then some of our other, the way that our different packages work is that we then start to look at, well, what is the business kind of going? Where is it? Are we growing rapidly? Are we looking at an initial public offering? Are we looking at getting ready to exit? You know, are we just simply a tradie that wants all our compliance looked at and a little bit of debt collection? And we then start to package up what is best for that particular client. And so we might add in the litigation and debt collection, for example, to minimize the risk there and sort of take out almost like an insurance policy against the legal costs, in inverted commas. And you sort of package it up together. Or you might add in, for instance, corporate governance and compliance if a client's looking to really exit at a large exit point. And maybe, you know, for our tech related clients, we look at data and digital and information technology. So making sure that we're really compliant around if we're selling a digital product or we're making sure that we're compliant for a variety of different technology bases, cross jurisdictional issues there. So we then kind of have these different modules that we kind of bolt in depending. And we've got some set packages that people kind of fit into, but most of the time they kind of have these core components around, you know, being accessible and giving legal advice across a variety of things. Employment and HR are the sort of critical. Employment and agreements, that corporate structure, risk and duties, kind of really understanding, you know, right at the front, where does the corporate structure fit? Is it a good corporate structure? Working with the advisors to say, maybe there's a better way here. You would be surprised, and, you know, quite frankly, your listeners will be surprised, how many clients I come across who have paid tens of millions of dollars more tax than they should have over the lifetime of their business because they either didn't listen to someone when they should have or they weren't given the proactive advice. So they're kind of there's a variety of different modules that will be too long to talk about today, but I would encourage people, have a conversation because, you know, we can then put something together that really fits what your business is doing. And that can actually be a variety of different things that you might not actually think about, but is critical to maybe what your clients are doing. And so you want to kind of make sure that you're covered in a particular area. From our point of view, we really take the proactive approach of saying, well, we've got to find something that fits for you as a business. That might include a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B, a little bit of column C. We package it together and actually that is what fits. What we don't want to do is miss something. So we always start with some base, you know, good foundations and solid across everyone. But then it's kind of the magic dust that gets sprinkled really depends on what the business is doing and what areas they're in and where their risks are. And we kind of develop some tools around assessing some risks up front that a client can then be aware of and we can then address.
And I think that's one of the key differences. There's a lot of, I guess, online packages for legal, but they're really the package. You have to fit the package. It's not the other way around. Here is, I guess, the beauty. You've got the flexibility of actually having it tailored to your specific business, but it's also in a standard package where you've got the various components. And I think that is a great thing. I think that's a really useful thing for small, medium businesses. And as I said at the beginning of the podcast, I'm excited. I really like the concept. So if our listeners want to find out more about Law at Work and how to get started, what should they do?
Yeah, well, there's a couple of options. Head to our website, franklaw.com.au, and you can fill out a form or chat with us online. You can send me an email just personally at my email that with the post of the podcast. And I guess the key thing that I want people to kind of take away is that, and one of the tools that I'd speak about, Paul, before was with everyone that comes through this process is we actually do a risk and compliance report for their business. So, and we actually took the proactive step to say, well, we do that for free, partly because we want people to understand what's going on with their business and actually sit down and have a look, and we then present a report to them. But secondly, we need them to understand the complexity that they're running. And I think a lot of you know, widget builders out there, they started as themselves building a widget, having an idea in it. And then suddenly we've got people, we've got employees, we've got contractors, we've got staff, we've got a lease, we've got suppliers. And suddenly they're operating a business that they didn't really intend on getting to, or they didn't, you know, they've put on 30 different hats, as you said before, and they kind of haven't realized that they need to take some hats off in putting more on. And so this report, we've actually built it. It's free. You can start it on our website and you can sort of under the at work risk and compliance question. I generally say to clients, look, find a happy place. Maybe it's a Friday afternoon with the beverage of your choice. Just log on and punch through it. It's surprising how many get done on a Friday afternoon. But actually, we then present the report to you. And irrespective of whether you come on board as a client, it's about arming that business owner with some understanding of the risks, the compliance, where they're at. Some of our clients, they're amazing. They've done a great job and they've ticked it off. Some of them, they think they're doing really well. It's highlighted some issues. And some of them, it's just confirmed what they've always thought, which is, wow, okay, it's been the thing we haven't thought about for a while. We need to do something. And that then helps us frame up the next conversation of, yeah, what package is going to be right for you? What are the things that really need to be addressed? What's the program? What's the project plan that we can put in place? And I think going back to your point, Paul, the key thing is there are a lot of kind of what I'd call legal packages, like you said, out there. For us, we definitely talk in terms of we're in-house counsel, we're your external in-house counsel. It is a full service. It's not just here's some sample documents, there it is. It's much more about the trusted advisor relationship, which is what I value and I value with all our, you know, key people and that we work with and that our clients work with. Because I think the closer you can be with those key advisors, the more trust you build, the more you realize that I'm a really good widget builder, I'm not a really good accountant, I'm not a really good lawyer, hey, I need someone in marketing. And actually, the sum is greater than the parts. The sum of the whole is greater than the parts. So for us, it's about who can we continue to partner with and help actually the business owner realize that they need the right advisors in the right spots to really make them sing and allow them to go on holidays and not do emails and allow them to go on holidays and know that their business is running appropriately and not end up in litigation. So best place, reach out to me personally. Website's probably that's always manned by someone, so it's the best. Otherwise, Google is probably the other. In these day and age, probably easy just to Google Frank Law.
Google Frank Law, not Google how to do my own law, but Google Frank Law.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, James, it's been wonderful to talk to you. And like I said, it is an exciting move forward for legal work, but also for business owners, and encourage people to go to the website, franklaw.com.au, and start the risk assessment. And yeah, do it this Friday afternoon. Maybe if you're driving and listening to the podcast, you should pull over first, but get started with it today.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure, Paul. I really thank you for having me on. It's great.
Not a problem. We're looking forward to getting you back for some future topics, which we've already we've raised that in some previous discussions, but it'd be great to hear you share your knowledge on those topics for our listeners.
Yeah, I'm particularly interested in talking about capital raising and exits around that. So I know that's something that your listeners would be very interested in, is how do I actually make lots of money? Because as a business owner, you don't do it for the risk, I can tell you.
Yeah. Well, James, you've let the cat out of the bag, because we actually have one of our little mini series coming up in the not too distant future. Is we're actually going to be looking at this whole idea of what a startup actually is and how to get your startup started on the right footing and what you need to be aware of, what you need to be thinking of. So that will be absolutely perfect.
Awesome. I look forward to it.
Okay. Thanks, James.
Cheers. Thanks, Paul.
Thanks for listening. Do you have a question you'd like our team of experts to answer? If you do, send your question to podcast@thebusinessbehindyourbusiness.com. To hear more from The Business Behind Your Business, don't forget to subscribe using your favourite podcast player. Or you can visit thebusinessbehindyourbusiness.com website.